won't. If we'd ever get to the place in our life where we want God's will for our life and more we want our will for our life, he could do something. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. John chapter number 12 this morning. I trust this is what the Lord has for us. We couldn't get away from this morning. Throughout, we've been looking at it. Several wonderful truths I just want to bring out this morning. John chapter number 12. We'll start reading this morning in verse number 20, John chapter 12. You there with me? Say amen. Amen. The Bible says, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. God, we thank you so much for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for these thy people that have come to hear your word. I pray this morning, Lord, you'd help us. I pray, God, you'd cleanse me of my sin, empty me of self. Lord, fill me with your spirit. I pray you'd help us to preach what thus saith the Lord. Hide me behind the cross of Christ, Lord, that I'd say nothing that does not need to be said, but everything that does. It's all said and done. We're going to be sure to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor that's due only your holy name, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Word of God this morning, the Bible tells us that there are many Jews that had gathered here and Israel. In fact, other than that, there was mainly Jews, but there was others as well. We'll find out in a moment. But they've gathered here, the Bible says, for the Feast of the Passover. The Bible is also clear to point out among those that gathered, not only were Jews, but there were some Greeks that came also. Now I want to remind you this morning that Christ first came to the Jews, his chosen people, but you'll remember the majority of the Jewish people rejected him. And he was rejected by the Jews. The Bible says it this way in the Gospels, he came unto his own and his own received him not. But I'm glad, thank God, for the rest of that verse, but as many as received him. Amen? To them gave he power to become the sons of God. But his own people had rejected him. But the Bible says that these Greeks that were there at the Passover were there for a specific reason. I want you to notice in your Bible this morning, verse number 20 and verse number 21. "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus." And I'm interested in that last part of verse 21 this morning. Amen? "Sirs, we would see Jesus." That's what I want to speak to you about for the next few moments, if the Lord will allow us to. Can I say to you this morning that that statement right there ought to be the desire of every single heart this morning? What we just read ought to be the desire, it should be the desire of every child of God as he comes to the house of God. In fact, even before he comes to the house of God, we spoke briefly on this several weeks ago on a Wednesday night because it was, the Bible says, keep thy foot when thou enterest in to the house of God. But it ought to be the desire of every single child of God, even before we get here, as we're getting ready to come to church, as we're riding down the road, and what ought to be on our mind, what ought to be our very motivation for coming, and what ought to be the main thing is, boy, I sure hope Jesus shows up this morning. Amen? That ought to be the desire of every child of God this morning. I sure hope that Jesus is in what takes place this morning. I sure hope Jesus is at the house of God this morning. I sure hope Jesus speaks to me this morning. Can I just say this? I am so tired of everything being about man in the house of God. I ain't sitting necessarily talking about here, but man, you don't have to look around very far. I am so tired of everything being about church and about the ministry and about the work of God being about man. Listen, all around our community, all around our country, church and ministry and the work of God has become about people. It's become about some enterprise. It's become about some empire. It's become about some man. I believe, listen, in giving credit where credit's due, I believe in honoring those that the Bible says we ought to honor those who are worthy of honor. But I'm so tired of seeing people follow a man or watch people follow a movement instead of following God. I want to say this morning, listen, let me tell you something. The ministry is not about some preacher. The ministry is not about some pianist. The ministry is not about some choir. The ministry is not even about some church. Praise God. Listen, the ministry is not about some personality or some program. But friend, it better be all about the Lord Jesus Christ when we enter in. Amen? It's about Jesus. If it's really about God, then we'll make it about God. Oh, they had a right desire in their heart. Sirs, we would see Jesus. And by the way, they had the right perspective and attitude regarding worship. They understood what worship was all about. Notice again in verse number 20, the Bible says they came up to worship. That's their purpose. That's the reason to come. They came up to worship at the feast. That's why they were there. But then notice what their idea of worship is. It's found in verse number 21. Sirs, we would see Jesus. I said they came to worship. That's what verse 20 tells us. And then verse 21 defines what worship was to them. They came to, friend, they didn't come to see the choir member. They didn't come to see their friends. They didn't come to see the preacher. But they came to see the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what worship is all about. Honey, listen, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about us being entertained. It's not about us having our needs met. The worship that these Greeks desired was to see Jesus. And in the world in which we live, where people and things are idolized, while the Word of God many times is ostracized, I'm simply saying this morning, we have a desire to see the next great movie. We have a desire to see the next great movie star. We have a desire to see the next great ball player or the next big ball game. We have a desire to see all that's going on in the next American Idol or whatever those shows are. We have a desire to see the next post on social media, our Facebook. There's some people in this room probably this morning can't wait to get out and see what's trending on social media. And I'm simply saying this morning, would to God there'd be somebody here this morning with a real desire to see Jesus. Where's the one in the morning when they're doing their devotions? They're not merely doing it out of duty. They're not doing it just to check off a list, but they're doing it out of a desire. I want to see Jesus. Oh, where's the one when they're doing that devotion? They want to behold His face. When they're doing that devotion, they want to enter in. When they're doing that devotion, they want to have a relationship and a walk and set their affection on things above and walk with the Lord. Where's the one as they walk through their day and the events of their day, whether they're at school or whether they're at home or whether they're at work or whatever the case may be? Oh, where's that one that in it all their eyes are fixed on the Lord Jesus? Oh, I love as we're admonished in Hebrews, consider Him who endured such contradiction of sinners against themselves, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. Friend, can I tell you what will help you get through your day? Consider Him. Oh, yes, it'll help you. Keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, where's that one when they enter in? Listen, when they enter in to their prayer closet under the shadow of the Almighty, and it's not just a bunch of needs, and it's not just a laundry list of requests, but where's the one when they enter in with a fire in their heart, with a longing in their soul, with a desire more than anything else. I want to see Jesus in the prayer room. I'm concerned with this new generation of preachers in our culture of comedians and historians and storytellers. Would to God there'd be somebody that when they mount the pulpit, it be more than just fancy stories, funny stories and fancy outlines. But would to God there'd be some men of God that when they mount the pulpit and herald forth the word of truth, that their desire is that somebody in the crowd wouldn't leave thinking, boy, what a preacher, or boy, what a song, or what a singer. Oh, but it's my desire this morning that as you ride down the road, you're going there in your car, that you leave thinking, what a Savior. We need to see Jesus, friend. Well, in our text this morning, they're at the Feast of the Passover. This was a very important Jewish holiday and ritual that they kept every single year. The Jews had been instructed to do so. It was a time set aside for them to honor God and to remember how God had delivered them up out of that bondage, up out of that oppression, and God had done a great work for them and done a great thing for them in delivering them, and they were to remember and never forget it. The main purpose was that they was remembering what the Lord had done for them. That was the main point in the feast. However, just like in many of these types of things, there were many people there for many different reasons. Everybody wasn't there for the right thing, and everybody wasn't there for the same thing. It's just like you and I at Christmas time. Do you ever thought about the fact that there are so many lost people and even pagan people and ungodly people, even atheists, get to enjoy Christmas, the birth of our Savior? Everybody don't do Christmas for the same reason, celebrate Christmas for the same reason. We know what we're celebrating, the birth of Christ. The birth of our Savior. Now, I'm glad he didn't begin in Bethlehem and he didn't end at the grave. Praise God, he got up on the third day and he still lives today. But his natural birth there in Bethlehem is what we celebrate. The day the Savior, God incarnate, came to dwell with us. But everybody don't celebrate that. Some are celebrating it for the presents. Some celebrate it for the food. Some celebrate it for the fun. And everybody that shows up at Christmas time isn't necessarily there for the same reason. And here at the Feast of the Passover, many were there, but many people were there for different reasons. No doubt some came for the entertainment and the things that just come along with the feast. It was a big time. I mean, it was a wonderful day. Some came for the food. We already know that always draws a crowd, right? Some came out of obligation. It's not a bad reason to come. Some came because of the crowd. Who knows, excitement breeds excitement. And there's a crowd, people want to know what's going on. And some people just came because of the crowd. Some even came to hear about God. Sure. During this festival, they had a meal called the Seder. This meal, I don't have time to go into all the details, but it was a meal where they would tell stories. And of course, they would talk about how the Lord led them up out of that bondage. They would sing songs. They had a meal, and they did it all in a certain order to show leaving that bondage and going into freedom. And so there was a purpose and a point in it all when they had that meal there at the Passover. During the time they'd talk about, they'd retell the story of the deliverance. All these people were there for different reasons. Sometimes there's upwards of 1 million Jews, it would be, at the Feast of the Passover. Yet out of all of them, the Bible does not record for us that one single Jew was there to see Jesus. But the Bible says these pagan Gentiles are the only ones out of the crowd, at least what's recorded for us, that were there for the right reason. And it came out of their lips from a desire of their heart, sirs, we would see Jesus. All of these Jews, God's people, right? These were God's chosen people, but they were there, it seems, for some other reason. Yet there were a few Gentiles who came seeking Him. You know what I'm glad about this morning? I'm glad that while many people come to the house of God to hear the choir, and while many people come to the house of God to sit and be fed, some people just come when there's food, but praise God, every now and then somebody walks through the back door and has a desire in their heart, has a longing in their soul, and the very purpose of their presence, sirs, we would see Jesus. You say, preacher, how do you know every now and then somebody comes in like that? What's this? I can see it by the way they sing. I can tell it by the way they sing. Well, listen, praise God. Some of you ought to sit up here sometimes, look out there and see what I see. Huh? Looking at the Bible when we're singing, looking at the songbook when we're preaching. God, help us. I'm saying, I can tell it by the way they sing. Well, got that glow around them, and they're singing to the Lord. Sometimes even the hands go up. Everybody all right? Hallelujah. I can tell it by the way they sing. Oh, yes. Oh, victory in Jesus. Right? Think about what a horrible thing it is. The Israelites lost their song. God help us to never lose our song. The Bible says the Israelites, as they were being carried off into that captivity and that bondage, said, we hung our harps in the willow trees. They lost their song. Can I say something to you this morning, Christian? When God saved you, He put a new song in your mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and trust in the Lord. Revelation 5 says, when they saw Jesus and they sung a new song, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Oh yes, friend, they're here to see Jesus. I can tell by the way they sing. I can tell it by the way they shout. Listen, I'm for order, I'm for doing things right, I'm for programs, I'm for plans, and I'm for being organized, but I am not interested even one iota in mechanical Christianity. Just sing our three songs and kumbaya and let's go to the house. Oh no, friend, I'm not interested in that at all. The Bible says let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise God, glory, amen, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. They said, sirs, we would see Jesus. I want to give you three things quickly this morning from our text, the way Christ wants us to see Him. As we look at this, I want you to notice, number one, we need to see Him glorified. We need to see Him glorified. Look at me at verse number 23 again. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Can I tell you this morning the kind of hour that glorifies the Lord? Understand what Jesus was talking about here is that while the Jews had rejected Him, these Greeks, these Gentiles came looking for Him. They came seeking and desiring Him. Can I just say to you this morning, the kind of hour that glorifies the Lord, it's when we come seeking Him. It's when we come looking for Him. It's when we come desiring Him. It's when we come longing for Him. It's when we come praising Him. It's when we come preaching Him. It's when we come praying to Him. It's when we come and fall prostrate before the Lord. That's the kind of hour that glorifies the Lord Jesus. Friend, it's not when we come to see man. It's not when we come to get caught up in a program. Oh, but it's when we come and our affections set on the things of God, and we come for the sole purpose to see Jesus. God help us to recognize and realize in our churches, in our schools, in our communities and in our country, in our homes and in our hearts. God help us to understand this morning. Can I say to you, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. I said, listen, this morning, the hour's come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Boy, we spend enough time glorifying ourselves. We spend enough time glorifying others. We spend enough time glorifying the flesh. We spend enough time glorifying sin. And I'm saying this morning, it's high time as children of God that we begin glorifying our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, the hour's come. The hour's come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Friend, you walk into the average church this morning and Jesus isn't what's being glorified. I'm saying it's high time. The Bible says the hour's come. The hour's come that the Son of Man should be glorified. It's high time we begin glorifying the Lord. We need to see Him glorified. I want you to notice the second thing out of our text. We need to see Him crucified. I want you to look with me at verse number 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. As Jesus begins to point these Greeks to Calvary, He talks about the fact that His hour has come. He talks about this corn of wheat falling into the ground and dying. He talks about being lifted up. Of course, He's talking about the cross. If I be lifted up upon the cross, He said, I'll draw all men unto Me. And we know what He's talking about because in verse number 33, this He said, signifying what death He would die. They said, we want to see Jesus. He said, you got to see Me crucified. You got to see Me crucified. Can I say to you this morning, friend, we live in a world where we don't want to see a bruised Christ, where we don't want to see a bloody cross, where we don't want to see a bitter crucifixion. Can I tell you why, friend? It's because it's a reminder of the fact that it's my sin and your sin that put Him there. Oh, yes, We live in a world, listen, just like Cain and Abel. Oh, listen, Abel brought an acceptable sacrifice in the Lord. He brought that blood offering. You know why? Because it was a picture of the blood of Christ. He brought that blood offering, what it represented. But you know what Cain said? He said, well, I just want to keep bringing my fruit basket. I just want to keep bringing my fruit basket. You want to know what? You know why we want to bring a fruit basket to the Lord? Some people don't mind to give money. Some people don't mind to give time. Some people don't mind to come to the services. And those, but they don't want to have to come over the blood of the cross. They don't want to have to come over the blood of Christ. I'm saying simply this morning, we want Christ to be what we want Him to be. He said, you got to see me crucified. Oh, yes. We live in a world we want Jesus to be who we want Him to be. We want Him to be miracle worker when we have a problem in our life, don't we? We want Him to be problem solver. We want Him to be a supplier. We talk about Him being comforter and being conqueror. And I'm glad He's all of those things, but they don't want to talk about Him being crucified. Can I tell you this? You cannot bypass the cross. Oh, yes. We want to hang Jesus up on the wall in a beautifully framed picture with hair flowing in the wind in a long white gown walking on the beach. That's why the picture will hang up with Jesus. Maybe a trickle of blood coming out of one spot or the other. Oh, can I tell you, His visage was marred beyond that of any man. We want to hang Him on a pendant around our neck. We want Him to be our lucky charm. We want Him to see Him do some miracle, but Jesus knew that that would not get the job done. Notice with me in verse number 37, the Bible says, He knew the miracles wouldn't get the job done, but though He had done so many miracles before them, watch those words, yet they believed not on Him. He knew He was going to take more than miracles. Oh, we want Him to be who we want Him to be. Jesus said, well, if you're going to see me, you're going to have to see me crucified. Or if I be lifted up from the earth. We want to behold His miracles. But Jesus knew that wouldn't change their life for eternity. Jesus knew that would not change their heart. Jesus knew that would not give them a new outlook on life. Friend, can I just tell you this? Coming to church is not going to radically change you. Being baptized, capsized, or simonized is not going to change you. Being religious is not going to change you. Oh, it was the cross that made the difference for me. And it's the cross that's going to make the difference for you. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm simply saying this morning, we need to see Him crucified. Can't bypass the cross and make Jesus a bloodless Savior. Because the Bible still says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The thing that'll change your life, the thing this morning that'll stir your heart, the thing that will show you your need, is we got to see Jesus high and lifted up. You want to hang Him on a pretty picture, but you got to see Him beaten and bloodied and bruised. We live in a world where we don't want to see Him crucified. Christian, you want me to tell you this morning, listen, child of God, the thing that'll change your life this morning, you want me to tell you what'll get you out of the mully grubs and get you from feeling so down and so out? Look up at Him and see Him on that cross. Listen, watch Him and the beating that He took for you. Think about that blood that He spilt for you. Think about that suffering that He suffered for you. Oh, think about all the scourging and the whippings and the beatings and the sacrifice. And He did it all for you. I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung there in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place. And if that don't do something for you, friend, something wrong. Remember what He's done for you. Oh, remember how He saved your soul. Remember how He's forgiven your sins. Oh, think about the fact, aren't you glad this morning that God looked past your fault and saw your need? He reached way further down than your eye could ever reach up, set our foot on that rock, established our goal, and put that new song in our mouth, even praising to our God. That ought to help you this morning. We ought to never get over the fact that God looked past our fault and saw our need. He found you on the way to a devil's hell. And friend, let me say this, you didn't find Him. He found you. You wasn't looking for him. Oh, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own. You wasn't looking for him, but honey, he was looking for you, and he found you on the way to a devil's hell, snatched you up out of that horrible pit, and somebody ought to praise him this morning. He wasn't lost. We were the ones that was lost. We need to never forget the greatest thing he's done for us. He's done many things. I'm glad, thank God, he's provider. I'm glad this morning that he's our Prince of Peace. I'm glad he gives us the power to live the Christian. I'm glad of all those things. But most of all, I'm glad that he's my Savior. That he was crucified for me. John 12:34. The disciple said, "How sayest the Son of Man must be lifted up?" Well, we don't want to see him that way, do we? "How sayest the Son of Man must be lifted up?" You'll remember Peter, when he began up in the upper room telling, Jesus was telling his disciples what was going to happen, and Peter rebuked him. "They're not going to do anything to you, Lord." Jesus said, "You got to see me crucified." I want you to notice the third thing this morning. Not only do we need to see him glorified, we need to see him crucified, but we need to see him multiply. Notice with me verse number 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." Watch this. "But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." You want to know something? By these Greek, there was something happening here. Man, I wish I had time. There was something taking place that was so miraculous in this whole story, in this whole setting right here. By these Greeks coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, it showed the great harvest that would come as a result of Christ's obedience to the cross. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I'm going to draw all men unto myself." These Greeks, these Gentiles, they were not Jews. And from the corners, all corners of the world, oh, listen, think about this. For some 2,000 years, even people, even now today, this morning, are being drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ because he allowed himself to be lifted up. And what we need to understand is Jesus is all about multiplication. Notice he turns his attention to his disciples. That's you and I, by the way. "Verily, verily, I say unto you," he's talking to his disciples, "except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, abideth alone. If it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." He knows he's leaving this world. And the drawing of men, the multiplication that he has begun, you and I are responsible to continue. These Greeks came to see Jesus. The thing that he wanted them to see, the vision he wanted them to catch, is him being multiplied. Jesus wanted his disciples to understand this is about multiplication. And that only happens, can I tell you, when we die to self. I said that only happens when we die to self. "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground, and that's not enough, and die." Oh man, I'm going to preach on this soon. That wheat seed that falls to the ground, it can lay there dormant for years and never become anything. Oh, but a burial's got to take place. Can I say to you this morning, the seed's got to die, friend. Can I say, the Bible records for us a couple of men that says, turn the world upside down by preaching the gospel. When you look at those men's life, what you find out is their life did not consist of things which they wanted, but their life consists of what God wanted. And you and I got to come to the place, well, if we ever want to really be used of God, if we ever want to make a difference in our life for the Lord, we got to come to the place where we truly lay our life on the altar of sacrifice and say, "Oh God, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee." If it dies. He wanted us to understand that he's about multiplication. Can I say to you this morning, it is possible to have a saved soul and a lost life. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. It is possible to have a saved soul and a lost life. Well, if we live our... He goes on in verse number 25, "He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." What's that talking about? The one who loves this life, he's put all his affection on this life, and he holds dear this life. It's a fleeting vapor. It'll be gone and it'll count for nothing. You'll have lost it. But the one who lives their life for Christ, the Bible says they'll keep it unto life eternal. You're not going to take anything from this world with you, but we can send it on ahead. Amen. We'll keep it unto life eternal. Will to God somebody give their life to reach the multitudes? Christ wants us to see the vision of people flocking to Him to be saved. He says, look, they said, sirs, we want to see Jesus, but we want to see what we want to see. He said, you need to see me glorified. You need to see me crucified. Oh, I want you to see me multiplied, because if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto myself. If it die, you'll bring forth much fruit. Christ wants us to see the vision of people flocking to Him to be saved. We want Him to be all these things to us, but the sad truth is we're not even concerned many times of whether or not He's Savior to others. I'm glad He's my peace. I'm glad He's my rock. I'm glad He's my refuge. I'm glad He's my comforter. I'm glad He's all of those things to you and I who are Christians. But He's not even Savior to most people. Does that bother you? It ought to. Oh, we talked about it yesterday. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I'm afraid we come to church so many times needing and looking for so many things, but we're looking in all the wrong places. We're downhearted, we're discouraged, and we come in looking for someone to encourage us, looking for some song to speak to us, looking for some preacher to minister to us, looking for some person to fellowship with us. And what we don't realize is if we just come in looking for Him, we'd have everything we need. Sirs, we would see Jesus. Do you want to see the Christ that you want to see? Or do you want to see the Christ He wants you to see? Because He's about being glorified. He's about you seeing Him crucified. He's about being multiplied. There's a problem in verse number 42 and 43 that's permeating our churches today, and we spoke about it, but I want you to see it. Verse number 42 and 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on Him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Notice verse 43. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. God help us to keep Him high and lifted up in His house. God help us to keep Him high and lifted up in our house. God help us to keep Christ high and lifted up in our life. I wonder this morning who's here, who's more worried about what people think about them than they are what God knows about them, that they wouldn't come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I need you this morning. I've heard the story. I've heard that Christ died for me. I've heard, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. I've heard it. I believe it, but I've never embraced it. There's never been a time in my life that I've bowed my knee, bowed my head before a holy God and said, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize the Bible says the wages of sin is death. There's a penalty for sin. Christ paid that penalty. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank God for Romans 10:13. Maybe there's one here, and you be honest, many times you come in with the world and everything therein on your mind. You come to see Jesus. Maybe you're thinking about some story you're going to tell. Maybe you're thinking about somebody you're going to fellowship. Man, thank God I'm glad we can do all those things. I'm for having a good time in the house of God. Nothing wrong with that. But when it gets to the point that it's about us instead of being about Him. Brother Jack, you'll know this, man, for years that folks would come in to church and they come in, preacher, what can I do to help? What I just want to serve. You go out, we went out yesterday, and I had some good visits, but many times you got knocking doors now, and the first thing is, what programs you got? What you got for the children? What, in other words, what do you have for me? Honey, it's not about us. It's all about Him. I'm glad we got programs. I'm glad we got things for everybody to get plugged in. But let's not lose our focus on the fact that it's all about the Lord Jesus. As we stand this morning, do you see Him glorified? Have you seen Him crucified? There's somebody in your life that you need to witness to. There's not a person in this room that's saved by the grace of God that does not have the command on their life to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not using the lost to reach the lost. The thing He wanted His disciples here to see was Him being multiplied. Do you got that vision? Do you share the same vision of Christ? Whatever God spoke to you about, why don't you come this morning?